picking account managers is more art than science. And for aspiring account managers out there, that's good news for you.
Learn more about the art and science of account management. Pick up a copy of A Dragon Walks Into a Meeting, A Tactical Guide to Client Management. Digital and print editions available at Amazon or your favorite bookseller.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Account Management, A Tactical Guide to Success. You got Fred Fuller here, and on the other side of the table, you have the wonderful, the mythical Mr. John Brown. John, how are you, sir?
Doing fantastic. It's a metaphorical table. It's a virtual table.
It's mythical. Can we use the word mythic? Can we make that the word of the day?
Hey, we need to start by addressing the elephant in the room. I'll get questions. Why aren't you guys doing these podcasts more often? They're really great. What's your answer to that?
Busy. It's funny, John, because if you really boil it down, you're like, yeah, you guys can't find an hour every couple, 2-3 weeks to get together and do this. And it really is just, it's hard to keep it, you know, like keep that discipline about it. I know that you travel a lot for work. I travel a lot for work. We both, you know, have families and we need to do better. You need to do better, John.
Well, I was going to say the opposite. I think you need to do better. I blame you.
Okay, good.
Now we got that out of the way. Now, that's the real answer. So for everybody here at home, this is free. And so you get what you pay for.
Yeah. That's right. If you guys want to pay $50 a month, we'll do one every other week.
Or send your crumpled up ones to Fred Fuller. 123 Fake Street.
Yep. All right. Fortnightly as as I've learned to leverage as a term, fortnightly.
We're going to start recording every fortnight. I don't even know what that is, other than a video game.
No, it's fortnightly. Never mind. John, let's make better use of these fine folks' time. What are we here to talk about today, John? What's top of mind for you? What's going
on? Top of mind is we're going to answer, somebody wrote into us a while back and asked, how do I get an account manager job? Particularly if I haven't been an account manager before. So we want to talk about how to do that. So we're going to talk about, five topics. One is getting a foot in the door, how you do that. Second is resume, what you need to have in your resume, kind of briefly touch on that. Interviewing, that's the main thing we want to talk about, like how to interview well for an account manager job. What you do in the first month and what you do in the first 3 months. So that's what we want to talk about today. How to get an account manager job.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I promise you I didn't plan this, but at the beginning I mentioned you being mythical, right? And this really is, if you think about it, there's always a demystification of something that you don't know about or something that you want to go get into, something that you want access to.
Right.
There's always a moment where you have to break it down to its essence and say, what is it? What are we talking about here? And when we talk about account management, we've said before, everybody has a client. And so on some level, everybody already is an account manager.
A little bit, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, and I think this is a great example of how I got into account management. My first job in account management and sales.
Do you have a story? I
do have a little story about that. I think you know a guy who started his career in corporate finance. He was working in the FP&A area, so forecasting, planning, and analysis.
For those of you who don't speak FP&A, forecasting, planning, and analysis.
Yeah, so it's not, well, when you talk about corporate finance, there's a whole bunch of different areas, right? You could do accounts payable, accounts receivable. You could be, you know, the accountant kind of on the more esoteric side, figuring out where you should be logging, entries, right? What account it goes against? Is it COGS? Is it? So there's a whole bunch. There's a big, vast world of corporate finance when you put it in those terms.
I'm already bored.
Sorry. I am so sorry. I am so sorry, everybody. I did not mean to do that. I almost started to recite GAAP and FASB standards.
Okay. Why don't we save that for the end?
Okay, let's come back to the beginning here then.
Okay.
So account management, as an FP&A person, I had clients, right? And mm-hmm. you actually interviewed me for an account management job.
Yep.
That on the onset and on the surface, based on some definition that I didn't understand, I thought, man, and I even told the recruiter at one point in time, I was like, guy, you sure you know like what I do? And I don't want to waste anybody's time. But the reality is I was already doing account management. It was under a very different umbrella than most people think about it. But I had stakeholders and I had clients internally to the organization. And all I had to do was take that same discipline and skill set and pivot it outwards.
Yeah.
Right. And so I just want to paint the picture that it's not as far away from you as you think it is, no matter where you are in an organization. You're doing some form of account management today, maybe small, and it may not have the same stakes as interacting with your clients who give you millions of dollars, but you do fundamentally have the skill set and understand what it's about. And so today we're going to talk a little bit more about how do we transition that into a move into a true account management position, right?
Yeah, I remember very clearly interviewing you. It was at a Starbucks, and it was cold because we were outside. I don't know why we're outside. I guess it was full. And it's like I literally remember this quite well. And you know, the thing I want everybody in the audience to understand is why that is important. Why that story is important is I remember very clearly sitting across from you and thinking to myself, why is this person an FP&A? Right. This person has massive influencing skills. I'm paying you a compliment. I don't really want to, but I am kind of paying you a compliment. Right.
Painful. Yeah.
It's
awkward.
Tough. It's weird. But I'm sitting across from you like, why is this person FP&A? They have all of the right talents for honestly, either sales or account management, positivity, communication, influencing, intellection, strategic thinking, like, you know, all the things that I look for in account manager, persistence more than anything, right? And so I'm like, oh, I'm gonna hire this person, I think, right? We're gonna put them through there's a process here and we do all that. But and then we wind up writing a book together about it. And so like my point with all that is like pretty much everybody I've had in my account management teams, almost none of them come from account management. And it's a mistake to think that you have to necessarily have that experience. What you have to have is the right talents. And we're going to talk about what that is and how to demonstrate that. But like this idea that nobody goes to college and studies account management, right? So therefore, nobody comes from it. You have to start somewhere.
That's right. And I think a large portion of everything that we've just shared, that's almost more aligned to the hiring managers than it is the applicants looking to get into.
Yeah, right. If I had to tell, right, this is where the hiring manager is like, stop looking for that bullet on the resume or from your industry. Like I can tell you the people that I've hired in account management roles, former flight attendant, former concrete plant manufacturer, former, let's see what else, insurance adjuster, in your case, former FP&A analyst. Right. Like I could go on and on. Pretty much almost everybody did not come from this. Right.
Correct.
So, yeah. So don't let that be an impediment to you at all.
Technical executives and not even executives, but like you think about your project managers, your account managers, your right. The people that interact and not when I say account managers, I'm talking about your project managers, your program managers, the people that do interact with clients from a technical perspective, right? Or they interact internally from a technical perspective. If you are an internal project manager at a massive bank, You have a lot of stakeholders and you manage a lot of relationships and expectations, mm-hmm. right? And you have to learn how to say yes and no and do it gracefully so that you don't create, like all those things, like those are great skill sets that translate directly to that external environment. And I think for the purposes here, we will talk about account management from an external facing perspective. But getting the foot in the door. So let's jump into this.
Yeah. So all that is the first part of getting your foot in the door, the realization that you don't need to come from this. And lots of areas can feed into account management. So if you're a developer, like let's say you're at a technology company, you're a developer, you could potentially work in account management, right? If you're from project management, like what you said before, you could come into account management. A lot of people do come from those areas, right? From the technical areas, from customer care is actually a great way to get into account management because you actually have some resume you can use to prove a point. Account management is literally just the business-to-business version of customer care, which is the business to consumer version, right? And so it has some big differences in terms of the job, but that's a great way to get in. Anyway, it can come from anywhere. The best way to do it is to work in a small company and show the boss that you've got some client handling skills, and then make your interest known to whoever leads the account management function. That is the best way to do this, right? So that's kind of the first recommendation for getting your foot in the door. Try to work in a small company and show that you've got what I call client hands. In other words, you can be in a client meeting and you don't faint or keel over and die. You don't sit there like a lump. You know, you actually are helpful to the conversation and you show that you have like a little bit of influence in front of a client. Even if you're not in that account management job, then probably the boss is going to look at you and go, wow, that person kind of is good talking to clients and influencing other people. Maybe that would be a good job for them, right? So that's actually the number one way to get your foot in the door if you can.
Yeah, small companies, one of the things that you get when you work for a small company that you fundamentally, it's harder, it's much, much harder to get with a large enterprise, is an overview of the organization and the way that the different pieces of the organization influence and interact with each other. If you're part of a 300,000 person company, the chances are your area of responsibility can be kind of narrow, right? Because they have a lot of people that do a lot of things and everybody's got a specialty.
Yep.
In a small organization, that's not true. And that oversight will allow you to be a better account manager when you understand how to take an external request and manage that internally amongst all the different people that will influence its outcome.
Yeah. Right? And also the other thing about a small company is you're more likely to get in front of a client at a small company because, you know, you just have fewer people, right? And so you have to solve things directly with clients. And so it's therefore more likely you will have an opportunity to lead a client to a solution. So let's say you're a developer, you might actually wind up in a meeting directly with a client to talk about technology at a smaller enterprise. And if you're in there and you can kind of in the meeting speak up and guide the customer to a notion and there's head nodding and they're agreeing, you're using those influencing skills. Aha, right? That's a bullet for your resume. You did that. You got them to agree to a notion, right? That's the on-ramp to becoming an account manager or a salesperson even.
That's the on-ramp to becoming an incredible salesperson or account manager. When you can work with a client and hear what the objective here and what we're talking about is reading beyond what's being said. Right. When you sit in a room with somebody and they say, you know, I want this. And you go, well, wait a minute. What? We'll talk a little bit about why you want that. Well, because of these other things. You go, oh, so what you really want is B, not A. Like, let's talk through.
We are right.
Let me have it.
The thing we've talked about in all the other podcasts about ask why they want what they want, like get behind the reason and get to the real reason. There's probably another solution to get there that actually works better for you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, be super curious. You could almost summarize that one with like be really, really curious and ask a lot of questions. It's counterintuitive because people think that asking questions, we talk about this all the time, like, oh, it doesn't look strong and da da da. No, it's just the opposite. Ask a ton of questions. Your clients will be impressed.
Yeah, that's actually a really great point. Like just being the dumb person in the room saying, hey, you wanted this and you used like three acronyms when you said it. And I didn't understand. Could you just explain it to me? Like people love that stuff because you're showing interest, right? Don't sit there and be quiet just because you're the technical person in the room or you're the subject matter expert and you think you're only supposed to talk when they point to you, right?
Yeah.
Like actually engage. And that'll show that you are an account manager. This is, again, this is all kind of from the standpoint of like, I'm in a company. I'm not in account management. I want to get into it. We'll talk about in a second what you do to when you're coming in from the cold. But I think the other final point on this kind of getting your foot in the door idea is if you can arrange it to where you are not an account manager and you get a chance to present in front of a client, that is the best way to get your foot in the door, to show that you're willing to stand up in front of them with a PowerPoint and go, okay, I'm going to walk you through how we're going to do this. Wow. Now that's that. If you can get that to happen, and that's hard sometimes, right? Like the business people will tend to want to own that, but if you can do it, that's the way to go.
And the best ways to go about that are ask.
Yes.
Ask for a speaking role. If you are going into a meeting with a client and there's 30 slides that are being presented, ask to own two of them.
Yes.
Ask to own three of them. Hey, I'd really like to have a lot of passion around this. I'm happy to present with you guys and do dry runs. I want to do whatever it is, but yes. I really want that. It's awkward to ask for that. And yes, you will probably, if you've never done it before, you're probably going to be nervous and it will be hard, but it is what you do if you are an account manager. If you are an account manager, this is a skill that you need to have and excel at. And it, like every skill in the world, you will have moments of brilliance and you will have moments of struggle, but you have to do it.
Right.
Ask to be a part of the conversation.
Right. Yeah.
Then when you get it, maximize it. And the way you do that is to be just prepare. Right.
Right. I was in a training program when I was at GE and I spent a year kind of in training. It really wasn't as much training as it was like answering the phone. But it was supposed to be in preparation for getting a sales job. And those jobs are kind of hard to get, but it, you know, what you had to do is not just do your job, but you had to show interest in the next step. So like every time I got a chance to go visit a client and actually say a few things during the meeting, like I jumped on it, right? Because I wanted to show that I could do that, right? And that's essentially what, you know, what you're doing here. And really what influencing, demonstrating that you can have a little influence is one thing. But the other thing is if you can demonstrate some stage presence on top of that, then you're going to get that account management job.
Yeah. And just be careful because there are times I've seen people try to, I'm trying to figure out the right words for this, that I've seen people try to display charisma. Right. In that, like, I can carry a room and let me show you. Mm-hmm. And all the activities you exhibit when you're in that mindset are almost the opposite of what you really need to do.
Yeah. Right?
So carrying a room doesn't mean being the loudest person in the room.
No, not at all.
You know, the flamboyant tie. Like if that's your style, that's your so whatever. But what we're talking about here very specifically is like I said, prepare, right? Come in, know your stuff, nail it. Build credibility for yourself and for your organization. That's success.
Yeah. Right? If you're authentic to yourself and you say three sentences and it really resonates in the room and you stop and it gets real quiet because everybody's kind of nodding their head and thinking, you did it. Like you don't need to do a 20-page PowerPoint, right? It can be that simple. It's not about how much volume, how much oxygen you consume in the process.
Yeah, it's connecting and building rapport. Yeah. And therein lies the building of trust, which is the foundation of everything that we've talked about and the foundation of everything account management related. So the next one is interesting here, John, resumes. So talk to me about resumes.
Well, so this is now we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Like maybe you're not already in a company, you're coming in from the cold and you want an account management job, and maybe you don't have a lot of that on your resume and your background. How do you that's a little bit harder thing to do, but it's definitely possible, like we talked about a minute ago, right? It happened to you. So it's definitely possible. What you got to do with your resume, and this is general resume advice, it's not particular to account management, but show, if you can at all, show on your resume, not just client interactions, but results with a client. right? So, and a lot of people miss this on their resume. Their resume is filled with the activities that they do. So I see this all the time. It's like any resume bullet that starts out with responsible for blah, 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 other than that kind of top header that describes the job very briefly, that can be kind of, you know, the job was this in a couple of sentences. I'm talking about all the resume bullets. They're meant to be accomplishments, and people put in there responsible for ensuring all invoices are correct. Well, that kind of stinks as a resume bullet. A much better resume bullet would be improved invoice accuracy by 30%, which contributed to an increase in client satisfaction score from 50 to 80. Right. Like, and if you don't know the answer to that second part of that, like, go ask the client team, like, hey, we fixed this problem. Do you think it had any impact on client satisfaction scores? And look, I'm not telling you to puff up your resume, but what I am telling you, if you don't know the number exactly, like, get the team to estimate for you. Yeah, we think that grew client sat by 10%. Great. That's your resume bullet, right? You have to go construct it. You can't just tell people what you do. You have to tell them what the results were.
I look for this no matter what position somebody is looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, it's kind of general resume advice, but I'm trying to make it specific. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and here's why I bring that up. I worked for a CFO, and I probably shared this story before. We were doing budgeting, and we put the budget together first pass, right? Like, and the CFO passes me in the hallway, and he's, you know, hey, Fuller, how's that budget looking? And I'm like, oh, it looks great, you know. Sir, like, I felt like I was in the military. He kind of had that approach to him, and I was so.
Hey, sailor.
It's easy to revert back, right? Like, yeah, oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And I looked at him. I said, "It's looking good." I said, "You know, first pass." And I said, "We probably about 80% of the way there." And he said, "Well, tell me about it." And I said, "Well, I mean, it's flat. It's an expense budget, right? And the business is growing." And I said, "Well, it's flat year over year. So I think that's we're in really great place." And he just stopped me and he said, flat. And I said, yeah. And he said, I can get high school kids to come in and keep my expenses flat. Their job is to find efficiencies. Don't come in here with a flat budget. And I like swallowed and gotten, you know, after I got past like the nausea and the weak knees and everything else, he's right. And yeah. I've never let go of that moment, because I feel like that is true for everybody.
Yeah.
In the corporate world, like, you are an intelligent, well-educated individual. Make it better. Make the company better. Make the company stronger. You should be striving to do that no matter where you are. And if you aren't, then start now, because eventually you'll need to illustrate that or demonstrate that in order to go to the next level, or in order to transition into account management role, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, this is general resume advice. Just like, have bullets that actually have results. And a lot of people don't. And it's because they don't do the research of like, okay, well, I made this change, or I made this improvement. It resulted in something. What is the something? You have to go research that and actually do some math and figure it out, and then put that on the paper, right? Even if it's... you know, it can be qualitative, right? But there is some result somewhere. What did it result in? Yeah, no, that's a great story. I can get high schoolers to come do this. That's awesome.
He did. And I ran and I shared that with the team that I supported. And they all looked, they didn't think it was amusing.
They didn't like that as much as I do.
Do what?
They didn't like that as much as I do.
No. But listen, you know, it's one of those things. I, you and I both, and you acquire all these little things along the way.
Yeah.
And those moments that you're talking about 20 years later, they're obviously impactful. They mean something. And
yeah.
And the beauty of this, and it really is, John, like, the beauty of this is that we get to kind of do this thing here where we cut up a little bit and we get to be a little, I don't know, we get to be a little bit silly, but we get to share this stuff. And it really, these are lessons that are learned and tried and true, and makes us, you know.
I really like that a lot. I'm going to start saying that to people. I can get a high schooler. Give me that answer.
Hey,
a better answer.
When it fits the moment, like, it's powerful, that's for sure. There may be a softer, gentler way. I mean, you know, hold on a second. You need to call me every time before you use this.
Okay, all right.
You got to check it with me.
That's not really my style, but it's very military. Like, that does kind of make me think of that. Like, wrong answer.
Yeah.
You know, go away.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So cool. So we get the resume together. We start doing the activities, or we reflect and we find the activities that illustrate this sort of skill set and this mindset. And you get the interview. Talk about the interview.
Yeah. So it kind of the same thing as the resume part a little bit. Now, again, maybe you don't come from this. So you got to really kind of like, maybe, you know, you had a super technical job, or maybe you had a job in finance, or maybe marketing. You've got to demonstrate that influencing with clients. And when you get to the interview, what you need to realize first and foremost is the interviewer 90% of the time is going to ask you terrible questions. And a terrible question is any question that doesn't allow you to demonstrate those behaviors that we talked about a minute ago. Right. And there, so it's like, you know, what do you think is good client service? That's a terrible question. Like, anybody can answer that. Well, it's about keeping clients happy and how you do, you know, what do you do to make customers happy? There's so many terrible interview questions. What if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Tell me your three greatest strengths. That's a super dumb question. Like, and interviewing is littered with this stuff because most people aren't taught how to interview, and it's really bad. Anyway, so just get ready for that. You can't get ready for all those questions because they're really terrible. What you instead need to do is come armed with hopefully 5 to 7 stories about how you led your client to the right thing for the business. And if, like, you come from customer care, this should be easy, right? Like, start writing down some stories of how, like, customer called up or interacted, all upset, it was a mess, big problem, and you got them to the right place. You took them along a journey, right? Come with that story. And then some other, that's kind of the, I have some tips to go with that, but that's kind of the number one thing, I think.
Yep. And again, internal application. So just kind of reflect back on my world in finance. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I did was I simplified the process and I created templates that allowed so I supported the call center operations. And I created templates and processes that made that job easier for them, right? And I know I've talked about this before, where what I saw was their job was to go run the call center operations, period. Their job was not to spend X percent of their time bogged down in administrative finance stuff. So my job was to make, they were my customers. My job was to make that better for them. And that's what you and I talked about in that Starbucks, right? Like, that, this is the way I see myself. And these are the things that I did to drive those improvements to make it better for my clients.
Yeah. That's a great way to frame it, right? Like, I'm treating the call center, even though they're notionally handling, quote unquote, the clients, I'm treating them like the client, and I'm going to make their jobs easier. And that shows that I care.
That's right. That's
right. It has a result, right? It reduced number of hours spent every year in finance spreadsheets by 20%, resulting in X savings for the company or X more time spent on the phone with end customers. There's a result in there somewhere.
And I did not have to do that. They did not come to me and say, "Hey, Fred, we really would love it if you could make this easier for us." And we were a heavily finance led organization. Mm-hmm. So I had the influence to kind of do what I needed to do to get the stuff done. And they knew that, right? And this was, again, this sort of militaristic, you know, CFO. And again, like, what can I do to make this better? How do I make them more successful? How do I give them the things that they need? And they were thrilled with it. So take initiative, right? And so there's so many things that come through in that story if you're interviewing somebody for an account management or even a sales position, right?
Yeah. So just a couple other tips to go with interviewing. Get over the fact that you need to take credit yourself for these things. Like, this is a little bit of a balance, but don't be afraid to say, "I did this." Right now, you don't want to kind of overdo it, because then you won't look like a team player. But when you what you're trying to do is communicate. When I say, come with 5 to 7 stories. What you're trying to do is get past the interviewer's dumb questions and implant in their brain that this person, particularly if you don't come from the background of account management, what you're trying to implant in their brain is this person has the natural kind of wavelength to interact well with clients. So you need to kind of act like you need to say I every once in a while. I did this and it made it better for the client, whoever it is, even if it's internal in this case, right? So you have to demonstrate a little bit of that. So you got to, a lot of people struggle with that. And then the other piece of that, and this is like terrible advice, but it's just true, be confident around that, right? And so deliver that you made things better for the client, deliver that confidently, like you really did. Like don't doubt yourself at all. That always reminds, saying be confident is kind of terrible advice because like it's really hard to just execute. It reminds me of, there's an episode of The Simpsons where the Troy McClure, the movie star guy, is like, you may remember me from such self-help films as Get Confident, Stupid, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's meaningless advice. But you do have to try to do the best you can to deliver it confidently.
You have to have it. It is terrible advice.
It's terrible advice.
I think where that really becomes critical is almost getting into the esoterical sort of conversation and definition around what confidence really is.
Yeah.
So when we talk about confidence, right, there's this element of like, I think of sports stars and boastful and, you know, some chest right. pounding. No. And that's not what this is. This is a really quiet confidence that says, I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know your space, Mr. Client. I know your organization. And I'm going to talk to you in a way that helps you understand and build confidence in me.
Yeah.
Right. Whether that's internal or external, whatever it is, it's really about the definition of competence. And I think all too often we mistake confidence for, you know, somebody's ability to say that they're confident. It's what you feel when they walk in the room, right?
Yeah, that's right. And if the other kind of final thing on interviewing is, if all else fails and you really don't have any kind of customer service background that, although I would suggest, I think you're right. Like you can take almost any background and turn it into like an account management thing because everybody has clients, right? But let's say you're really struggling with it, then demonstrate really clearly with those 5 to 7 stories some of the talents that are really required for an account manager. Well, whether you learn what those are, well, you can read a book called A Dragon Walks Into a Meeting. There's a plug right there. You know, and it goes through and talks about what some of those things are, but it's things like the ability to win others over, the ability to communicate, that those two are probably pretty high on the list, being a little bit competitive, being disciplined, activating other people, relating to other people, commanding other people, right? Being responsible to other people, delivering for them things that they ask for. Try to at least show some of those talents as the backup to the backup in your 5 to 7 stories when you're interviewing. And just have those ready to go and have them really polished, those 5 to 7 stories, and practice them in front of a mirror, practice them in front of a friend. So those stories come out and your confidence will be enhanced when you tell them really well.
I think about it in the context of something that we have said many, many, many times, which is, as an account manager, you are the CEO of that piece of business.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at your CEOs, right, the CEOs that you've worked with, the successful CEOs out in the market, whatever it is, like they check every one of those boxes.
Yeah.
Right. They know how to sway opinion. They know how to communicate effectively and get their points across. They're competitive. Mm-hmm. Think about it in that context.
Yep.
And if you worked for a CEO who stepped in the room and was not confident, what would you think? Right? That's You'd be like, man, is this the right place for me? Is that guy? Because I don't feel. So think about it that way.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
your clients want. And that's what you need to embody.
Yeah. I'm the CEO of this business and I'm not perfect and I don't always know what I'm doing, but I'm going to figure it out. Right.
And I'm going to be honest, and right. you guys can trust me, right? That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about executive roles a lot of people don't get. And it's really true of account management roles, more true of that role than many other roles in the company. I think account management, a lot of ways, is the closest to an executive role because, like, you just have to figure stuff out all the time. And every situation is new. And as somebody I work with says all the time, and it's a really great saying that she says, we live in a world of gray, right? Like, the answers aren't laid out for you, right? There's not a perfect way to do this, right? So when we live in that world of gray, we have to be a CEO and we just have to figure it out, right?
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's one that I use actually quite frequently myself. Like, look, it's all shades of gray.
Right.
I know we live in a world where people want to say yes or no, left or right. It's never that. It's 20 right. degrees here and 13 degrees back the other way.
You're
it's
the one seven. That has to right give that world of gray some structure and make some decisions and drive things. And that's what that is. So you just anyway, the interview is showing those things, those talents.
Yeah.
You know, if you want the world where you sit in a cubicle and you just analyze things all day long, then maybe account management isn't for you, right? You have to show these other talents.
Yeah. It brings to mind, as I know we're getting kind of long on this one, but it brings to mind a super quick story of when individuals first find themselves in an account management role, if they are accustomed to having somebody else that makes the decision, like, well, I think we should do this. What do you think? And there's always one or two more people that have to approve it or whatever. When you become an account manager and everybody looks at you and says, what do you think? And whatever you say, whatever comes out of your mouth is what everybody is going to go do.
Right.
Like, I see a lot of early stage account managers kind of still want to look around and say, hey, but everybody else is cool with this. Like, I don't know, man, it's your call. Like, it's an interesting place to be. Right. So that actually brings me directly to then you get the job. I'm now an account manager. What does my first month look like? What do the first 3 months look like in this role?
Yeah, you really that's a great question. You really want to avoid you become an account manager, you're in a client meeting and every person at the client turns to you and says, "Can you do this?" And you're the first month on the job and you don't know what your own organization is capable of or what you can say yes to or no to. Although we have a chapter on that in the book and we talked about in earlier podcasts how to handle that situation. But instead what you really want to do is spend the first 3 months, you know, don't hit the ground running, hit the ground learning. Right? So and so you kind of want to avoid that situation if you can. So what you want to do is prepare a plan. The first week you're on the job for a new account manager, write down a little plan of what you're going to do and give it to your boss. That'll give your new boss, some comfort. This person knows what they're doing. So like the systems you're going to learn, you can go find out what those are. The people you're going to interview internal to the company so you can learn who does what. The clients you're going to go see. The CRM that you're going to use and read about all of the past client experiences with this client, right? Like lay out all those things that you're going to do. But in the first month, focus on getting to know that internal team. So if you already worked at the company or you're just transferring jobs, that's a lot easier, right? You might know everybody in the company already, and that's cool. But get to know the internal team and just go on client visits. Go visit all those clients. Say, I don't need anything from you. I just want to introduce myself and I'm brand new as an account manager. Hopefully you have a wingman to go with you, a wing person who will introduce you to the clients and do that warm handoff. Sometimes that doesn't exist. You just have to kind of do it yourself. So it's situational, but it's better if the former account manager can go with you, but sometimes it doesn't work out like that. So just go visit all those clients. Say, I don't need anything from you. I just want to meet you and introduce myself and I will be your resource going forward. I'm still in learning mode, but I'm going to do everything I can to help your business succeed, right? Or your enterprise succeed. So those are the two things you need to do. And if your company does not have a training plan for new account managers, which most don't, right, particularly for small enterprises, like I said, you got to create it yourself. That's month one.
Yeah, I would put a general guidance around this that says certain phrases that are off limits. In my old job, this is how we did it.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. You can ask a heck of a lot of questions about why, but it should be not in the under the sort of cloak of why in the heck would you do it that way, right? Like, that's not the right approach. There's a way to ask a question, and the way you ask that question greatly influences the type of responses that you will get, right? So you need to hit this job from a place of absolute curiosity.
Yeah.
I need to learn and absorb everything about what we do and why we do it and how we do it and who does what. And I need to just take all that information in before I can begin putting a judgment or an emotion to it. I just have to understand. I don't have to respond. I don't have to. Then you can start to dig into things and go, okay, well, now if I think about the way this worked in previous lives or that kind of thing, right? Ask others how they do it. If you're an account manager and you have Acme Bank or Acme, you know, distribution company or whatever, somebody in the organization has a similar relationship with a client. They have certain tools and mechanisms they use. What's worked well for you? What's not worked well for you? Tell me about that, right?
Yeah.
So this is for new account managers. It's for account managers coming into new roles from previous account management roles. I think regardless of that scenario or situation, you have to be just remarkably curious and non-judgmental.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's right. And you may get a boss. If you have a good one, they're going to want you to do this. They're going to want you to learn as much as possible in the first 3 months. If they're bad, they could be just like, I just need somebody to service these clients and get them to be quiet, and that's all I care about. That'd be the bad end of the spectrum. You could wind up with that. So you'll need to do that, right? Like, you need to do what your boss wants and try to service those clients as best you can. But secret, so it's still prepare the plan and still give it to them. But, you know, if they downplay that, if they don't want you to do it, just try to do it in secret when they're not looking, right? So, like, you know, spend as much time as you can learning and make that job number one, and then the servicing aspect number two, at least for the first 3 months. And then for the sort of, you know, so the first month is that plan and getting to know the internal team. And then the rest of the time for the 3 months, you want to be in the field as much as humanly possible. And then while you're out there talking to clients, they're going to ask you questions you don't know the answer to. That is actually great, because that is how you learn the best. So Mr. Client says, blah, 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 how does this work? Or how do I make this happen? Well, I don't know, Mr. Client. As I mentioned, I'm brand new, but I'm going to get you that answer, and then go find the answer and follow up with them and let them know what the answer is. That's a great training for you. And oh, by the way, establishes really quickly that you are credible because you follow up. Right. And so it serves a dual purpose. And so if you do that well, it's actually great when they ask you stuff you don't know the answer to.
I think it's outstanding. And it's really powerful to say you don't know.
It's very powerful.
People mistake that all the time. They think, oh, that's weakness. That's weak. No, it's powerful. Now, there's a line, right? You need to know the fundamentals of your business, and there's some core competencies you need to have.
After a while, after three months, you're expected to know a few things. Yeah.
There's another thing here that you can't fall prey to, and that is you come into this role, and the first thing that your boss says is, that organization should be worth X. I need you to go figure out why. Like, why haven't we grown them? Why haven't we done? Why haven't we? Like, they give you a task immediately of like digging into some level of detail and coming back with an answer, right? You feel when somebody asks you that, somebody from a place of authority, you feel not only the need to go figure that out, like to get the answer to it, but to solve the problem. Like, you're now on a different track. And so you have to be really cautious. The answer to your new boss wouldn't be, well, boss, I appreciate that, but I'm going to take my time and go do the thing for 3 months. Right. You can't do that. But there's still a very intelligent and methodical and mature and sophisticated way to go about this. So don't take that question or that direction and just jump right into it. Because if you do that, the client's going to feel it. And the first thing they feel coming from you is like a negative sort of intention, which is to get more money, right?
Yeah.
Be careful of those things. And so we could beat this to death, right? We could go on and on, but I just put that out there of like, man, take a moment and take everything everybody gives you kind of with a grain of salt. and remember that you are the CEO of this little tiny piece of business.
Yeah.
And treat it as such.
That's a great point. Like, yeah, your boss gives you that assignment. You can start with, hey, boss, my hypothesis, just from what little I know, is that the reason is this, and I'm going to spend the next month figuring that out. And here's my plan. Here's my five steps of what I'm going to do to figure this out. I'm going to go take so-and-so from accounting out to lunch and find out what's going on with that part of the relationship. I'm going to go do an on-site tour of their factory to see how our product is being used and whether there's any waste being created because of it. It depends on your situation, but like come up with that five-step plan. Like, boss, I think it's this, but I'm going to go find out. And again, what you're really doing is you're creating a learning plan for yourself.
Yep.
But don't start with, hey, why aren't you buying more from me? Right. Like that, to your point, like that's not a good way to go.
Yeah. That's not how you jump out there. Right. But, you know, John, it's interesting. I mean, you know, this is, I like this episode because it moves us away a little bit from the, you know, that super tactical, how to be a good account manager. And this really almost comes back to the overarching philosophies of how do you think about account management, right? And what is the job really? And we do get this question a good little bit out in the market, like, you know, folks reaching out on LinkedIn and so forth saying, hey, if I'm interested in doing this, how do I do it? And so it's nice to be able to share some of that.
You know, you hit the nail on the head a little while ago talking about how account management is you're the CEO of a little mini business. There's a lot of different types of CEOs out there. Right. And they have different skill sets and strengths. Right. But probably the core skill set they have is something around influencing others, right? And so maybe they're great strategic thinkers, but they're using that to influence others. Maybe they're awesome at relationship building, but they're using that so that they can get influence with other people, right? Like maybe they're, you know, unbelievably good executors, but they're using that so that they can kind of influence other people. So, you know, there's a lot of flavors of an account manager. What you want to do is just show those spikes, like we talked about. And if you can do that, you can get an account manager job. Like I'll go back to what I said in the beginning, almost all the account managers that work for me did not come from account management, right? No one did. So you can get there is the answer.
Yeah, you can absolutely get there. And in fact, I would leave this as a moment to forewarn hiring managers of like, don't fall into the fallacy that because somebody had that in their title previously, that makes them great at it. You have to look at the organization they were a part of and the organization and that you need this for. I've seen account managers come out of really large organizations that have a big machine behind them, go into a startup kind of environment. It's a totally different dynamic. You're now the small guy. You're not the big guy. You don't have the machine behind you and you don't have the credit. Like there's a lot of different dynamics that come into play. So picking account managers is more art than science. And for aspiring account managers out there, that's good news for you.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Well, that's actually a great summary for the episode, Mr. Fred Fuller.
Yeah. Well, okay, man. Well, look, John, it's great to see you. And again, once everybody starts paying us, you know, $50 an episode, fortnightly.
Cashier's checks are accepted, as well as Bitcoin and Dogecoin.
All right, John, too far. Do you want to share your bank account with everybody so they know where to send it?
Yeah, I'll post my routing number and bank account on the internet.
Okay, folks. All right, that's enough of this silliness. For the good Dr. John Brown, I'm Fred Fuller, and we'll see you next time on Account Management, a Tactical Guide to Success.
Fred and John would like to hear from you. Go to brown-fuller.com with comments and questions, and rate us on your favorite podcast platform.